Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Director Unsworth, my name is Donnie Martorello. I'm the Carnivore Section Manager for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And before I jump in with the first agenda item that I'll cover today, cougar seasons, I wanted to take a quick minute and pause here a little bit and talk about predator-prey. Anytime that we talk about carnivore management, one of the first items that comes up is questions about how we manage carnivores relative to predator-prey, so I wanted to touch on that quickly. As you're aware, you adopted the game management plan here in the recent past, and in that, in Chapter 2 of that, outlines our predator-prey management strategies for tying ungulates together with large carnivores. That's something we're working on right now. One of the first steps following that game management plan is to do an assessment of our ungulate populations, deer and elk and moose populations around the state, to see if there are any herds that show signs of being susceptible to predation. And then the game management plan outlines some of the steps there to address that predation if it might be a limiting factor. So that's the place where we tie those two together. It's not necessarily embedded in the recommendations for bear or cougar seasons. However, at the end of each presentation I'll just give you a quick ancillary potential benefits that we might see to a predation issues if they exist. So with that, I'll dive into the first agenda item, cougar hunting seasons and regulations. In our game management plan, our objective for cougar populations is to manage for a stable cougar population, so obviously not increasing or a decreasing population, but stable at the current level. To do that, 3 years ago, you'd adopted a new hunting structure based on a culmination of about 10 years of research that I'll talk about briefly. In that new hunting structure that we've had for this season and the two prior is we've divided the season up into two, an early season from September 1 to December 31st, with any legal weapon, and you'll hear me talk in a minute about harvest guidelines. During this first half of the season, and why we split it, is that if any of the hunt areas or population management areas reach the harvest guideline, we still do not close the season during that phase. And one of the values here is that this is the time of year when folks are out in deer camp and elk camp, and it's difficult to get back to a phone and find out if cougar season's open or closed. The second, late season from January 1st to March 31st, this is a period of time where the harvest guideline is enacted for each of the hunt areas around the state, and it's up to the hunters to check in regularly once a week to see if any of the hunt areas have reached the harvest guideline and potentially been closed by the director. So each of the hunt areas, and I'll show a map here in a moment, has a harvest guideline of 12% to 16% of subadult and adult cougar, so it excludes kittens. And during the last 3 years, this is the first 3 years that we've had this process. As we reach harvest guidelines in the late season, then the director has the authority through emergency rule action to close particular hunt areas once we reach that 12% to 16% harvest rate. So this is the state divided up into the 49 hunt areas. The gray area here is a cougar distribution, and then the remaining hunt areas in the orange. These are culminations of one or more GMUs, usually one to three GMUs. We tried to match it the best we could with local deer and elk herds, knowing and understanding that cougars follow deer and elk through seasonally from summer down to winter range. Each one of those areas has a harvest guideline that's in the pamphlet that ranges from a 12 to 16% of the adult and sub-adult population for that particular hunt area. Now that estimate of adult population size and sub-adult population size was generated from about 10 years of research in six different areas of the state. During that course of time, we collected literally hundreds of thousands of telemetry points. Feel like we really have a pretty good thumb on the pulse in terms of population size and in a fairly significant portion of the state. A couple findings that I want to share with you. Again, this is going back for any folks that weren't around 3 years ago, but just as a refresher for us, it's one of the common questions that we get in the public input side of it is why we have the seasons the way we do. So at least two of those lessons we learned from the research project. One is that when we compared an area that had moderate harvest to an area that had high harvest, comparing clayellum to the wedge, we found that increasing harvest actually didn't change the population size because of recruitment of new sub-adults into the population. The local population actually went down, so particularly on the female side. So heavy harvest resulted in the local population declining, but those declines were quickly filled by recruitment of new animals, new sub-adults into the population. And you can see that here by looking at the change in survival rates for male and females from a moderate to a heavy hunting, where the survivorship went down. The adult density went down, but the total population size really didn't change. Now you tie that together with the social structure of cats, and this is a picture of the two home ranges territories of two adult cats. Again, as a reminder, male cougars in particular are very territorial. They defend their territories against other males. This is a picture of a large subadult or large male cat that with fighting wounds on them. And so they're constantly defending that territory, getting challenged by other cats. And so these territories fit together like pieces of a puzzle. In a situation where heavy hunting, in a situation with moderate hunting, the top here, this represents the clay elm area, as cats are removed through harvest, there's enough cats still in the landscape that territoriality still stays in place, and other cats fill those voids, but that structure of territoriality, that social structure, is still there. In a situation with a heavy hunting that we had in the wedge, same scenario, where we remove a much higher mortality rate, remove more of the adult animals to the point where there are very few, and a bunch of sub-adults come in and fill those voids, and they lack, at that stage of their life, they lack that territoriality and be able to hold that social fabric together. So that's another one of the things that we learned through those projects is heavy hunting results in a flip of a population that's normally an older population to a population that's much younger, and it results in an influx of sub-adult males, and you can end up with the same number of cats, but maybe more overlap. One of the things that we're cautioned against, or some published literature suggests, that in this situation with heavy hunting, it may actually increase interactions with livestock or increase depredation ungulates. And all of that I just talked about is gone through the peer review process and has been published. So now back to our season structure. If we look back over the last two completed years, we're right now in the third year of this new season structure. What you see here on the graph of Washington is first one I'd like to take a mental note of, we'll talk about at the end of the presentation, is the areas in white. These are areas where the cougar harvest through the course of the year never met the harvest guideline. And in most of these areas, it was well below the harvest guideline. The areas that are yellow is where it met the harvest guideline, but was not closed. And the areas that are either this pink or red are areas that were closed, and some of those that actually met the harvest guideline was closed, or it actually exceeded the harvest guideline. And so also here, that's built into the rules, it's not a red light, green light. The process is more as these areas reach the harvest guideline, our district bios look at the data, they look at the number of adult males and females that are in harvest, number of sub-adult males, number of kittens, those kinds of things, and they make a decision based on that data for the particular management unit. This is the same picture for the 2013 season. Again, a big take-home message here. A lot of these areas are well below the harvest guideline. Some areas that reach the harvest guideline are not closed, and some that are obviously are closed. So what does that mean? Wrapping that all together, the last couple years. Again, there's our total nine. These are the last two complete years of this new structure with 49 hunt areas. About 16% of the state was at that harvest guideline by the time the second season, the late season started, January 1. About 25% of the state reached it and was closed. About 75% of the state never meets the harvest guideline. Those are the white areas I talked about. Total harvest has increased in the last couple years.
Is your host, Nolan, had a question?
I go back one.
Okay.
If you would, please.
I sure will. Find the right key here.
And there again, this is a contentious issue, needless to say, but that's a no-brainer. We're going to kill lions in Houghton County where we have deer, elk, and you're not going to meet them in Pierce County. I don't know. needless to say, the red areas where we have lions, this is frustrating to me. It'd be one that I would really like to sit down and spend part of the day with you so I could get my head around it.
Absolutely. Be happy to do that with you. Be happy to do that with you.
Okay. I better just shut up.
So back on this chart, about 25% of the areas were closed. About 75% of the state never reached the harvest guideline. Total harvest has actually increased. That will be the next graph I show. And then if we think about, again, some of the areas reached the harvest guideline, some of them went over. By how much did we go over? What's the number of animals there? We think of the big picture. It's a fairly small number of animals, certainly within the range of likely absorbed by immigration of other cats into the state. Here's that plot through time, through the mid-70s of cougar harvest in the state. And you can see the various migration of different methods, periods where dogs were used, periods where dogs were not used, periods where dogs were used for just some areas of the state, and then the last 2 years with our new system actually seeing an increase in cougar harvest. So our recommendation is status quo cougar seasons with a couple exceptions, but status quo cougar seasons for the next 3 years. And then, of course, we'd like to review the complete cougar season package before the next three-year package. We came together with our district bios and our carnivore specialists in this prior to this developing this recommendation, and we felt that over the last since the last 2 years full data sets, it was really too early to make a good assessment of whether or not we want to make adjustments to harvest guidelines and areas and those kinds of things. So we want to get a couple more years under our belt and then have that assessment of the harvest guidelines. With that being said, one of the exceptions is to extend the season in the late season. Instead of closing in March 31st, extend it through April 30th. This is the period of time when we have the harvest guidelines in place where we can close particular hunt areas. So those areas that reach the harvest guideline would then be closed. Those areas of the state, mainly the ones in white, that rarely reach that harvest guideline, another month of season. And then I have one other recommendation. It's in your notebook. It's just a smaller one. It's actually separating out two GMUs, 564 and 568, the battleground unit. We're just taking one of the hunt areas and dividing it into two hunt areas to address some of the local needs there. And then the last one is, during the last 3 years, again, it was a new program. We, in WAC, it establishes that the director will close particular hunt areas when it reaches the harvest guideline through emergency rule. That system has worked fairly well in terms of no surprises over the last 3 years, and so now we're recommending the commission that just to identify that as just a process of WAC and not requiring emergency rules to make those closures. That's all I have. Is there any questions?
Thank you, Donnie. Yes, Commissioner Carpenter.
Donnie, I think it maybe was last year or in some briefings, I recall hearing some cougar mortality related to wolves. How much of that goes on, or do you know currently?
Yeah, at this point, we've documented, I think it's at three different cases where we've had wolf mortalities related to cougar. It's only been documented, I think, one other time in the western U.S. And so even a small sample size of three, it's caught some attention. But at this point, each one of those scenarios seems fairly logical. When you piece together the age and of the wolf and whether they were alone or with other wolves, it made sense. And so no surprises, nothing at this point with the N of three that causes us any concern.
Mr. Kinney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Donnie, what it looks like in the extension through April 30th, that because of your safeguards up front saying you'd have a cutoff at 16% if you'd reached that, so those places that have already reached that would never go to April 30th. But in the others, is there any dynamics of cat social structure and whatnot that could be affected by allowing that hunt into late April? I'm not sure of exactly when kittens come, but is there anything that makes you worry about that season where it would go into April 30th?
It's a great question. No, the one that did come to mind is actually the birthing poults that we tend to see in Washington, and it's an early summer, and so I think we're well out of that. It wouldn't be an issue. And so I don't see any impacts to the social structure or anything like that.
And primarily the reason for this is to increase opportunity.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We do have one public testimony. So thanks, Donnie. Bob McCoy?
Good morning. Bob McCoy of Sammamish, Washington. On this rule change, I'm recommending no action, no change. The first of all, the studies that were written by mostly Washington State scientists call it harvest thresholds, not guidelines. So they're talking about a threshold that shouldn't be crossed. And we do see that we go over in 10% of the population management units. Secondly, I want to kind of switch gears and talk about shed hunters. Taking from WDFW's publications and websites, depredation permits may be issued to individual landowners. We're talking about living with elk. Removing elk by any means is probably a short-term solution. Other elk are likely to move in if attractive habitat remains available. That's true of bears, that's true of cougars. In fact, it's true of probably most any animal. Shed hunting, although antler hunting season gets underway in late winter, biologists recommend delaying serious antler hunting to late spring to avoid inadvertently harassing animals on winter range. If many antler hunters descend on an area before wintering animals have left, the disturbance can threaten their survival at the harshest time of year. Speaking of deer, winter can be a good time to view deer. This is a critical time for deer, and if harassed, deer will expend vital energy to flee the harassment. We close Sage Hills to shed hunters. Each time a deer has to respond to disturbance, be it a hiker, a mountain bike, or a dog, its winter reserves are depleted, and during March and April, those deer can least afford using more energy. That's Dave Volson, WDFW regional biologist. So if I were going to hunt cats, I'd go where the deer and elk are. And I think extending the season another month is going to have impacts on more than just cats. I think it's going to have impacts on ungulates. And we're telling recreational hunters who aren't shooting at anything, why don't you give those deer and those elk a chance to rest and then go in? And why don't we give the cats a chance to rest? Cat hunters already have 7 months in which to have their recreation. Certainly an eighth month isn't that necessary. Also, I brought with me some handouts from Humane Society U.S., which you will receive, and I agree with what they say also. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Donnie. Donnie, why don't we take